Welcome to the CEN Show, a platform where we learn from the world community. I'm your host, Rasaki Mascani, and on the panel this evening, we have Professor Amin-Ra, we have Brother Ernest McBride Jr., and we have Brother Mashinda. Our guest this evening is Brother Chiwara, who's really not a guest. He's one of the team members, and he's been on maybe about three or four times to give us information. And every time I enjoy it, and hopefully everybody else do too. So tonight our topic is thinking, our core energy source. And so we're going to get started. Brother Chiwara, thank you for attending again. It's good to see you. And we're ready to go. If you wanted to talk a little bit about yourself, that'll be good too.
Yes, well, I'm just a vessel of the immortal light that is sent here to observe, analyze, and to share. And so tonight will be a sharing experience by way of the CEN show. We will be sharing some information that I believe is relevant, first and foremost, for our Black people, wherever they may be, because we are one people. And I am a singer-songwriter. I am a husband of over 40, of 46 years, and a father. And I'm a professional man, so my skills in is manhood. Tonight, I'd like to speak about thinking as a renewable energy resource of human life. It goes into quite a bit. We won't be able to really go deep into this, but I'm trying to give as concise as possible a presentation that will kind of bring us to right now and how we're going to move forward in the best interest of our peoples, Black peoples, and all peoples in general. So, thinking as the renewable energy resource of human life. From the earliest days of our collective history, humanity's natural moral code, world order, kept societies in balance, guided by principles as enduring as the cosmic Earth itself. Today, however, that moral architecture lies in ruins. As an indigenous Black man of African descent, ascending, rooted in the moral codes, the UN drip, human rights laws, and other natural laws, I offer this perspective on how our world slipped into chaos and how, through the power of thinking and thought, we might reclaim our Black sovereignty and restore global harmony. So hopefully we'll be able to gather some insight from that. The first aspect we're going to look at is the decay of moral order, the decay of moral order. Now, humanity's original moral code is woven into the land, the family, and the community. In Africa and throughout the diaspora, those codes honored the sanctity of life, bound individuals to communal responsibility, and directed how people cared for each other and for the cosmic earth. But with the advent of the colonial imperialism, European marauders descended upon Black lands with uncivilized barbaric brutality. Through the Berlin Conference of 1884 to 1885, when African territories were carved up like spoils, colonial powers wielded terror to suppress Black thinking and erase our Black genius. foot baths and elders' gatherings, complex rites of passages, and system of communal decision-making were replaced by forced labor, aka slave trade, colonial bands and proxy leaders chosen to report back to foreign masters. Black bodies and minds became the most coveted natural resources, and our soil, forests, and minerals became mere icing on the colonial cake. Prepared perpetual darkness and neocolonial continuity. Centuries of brutality and erosion of Black culture and traditions left Black civilizations in survival mode. Pro-Black leaders were assassinated, their movements discredited, and organizations subverted. Even their political independence, even after political independence, neocolonial forces continued their assault through covert coups, crippling tariffs, and targeted regime change operations. Today's colonialists no longer fear Black bodies united in unity. They fear the Black mind awakened and united. Information warfare, economic strangulation, and the assassination of dissenting voices all aim to keep our collective genius locked away. Simple but odious remedies. How do we correct this monumental travesty? The answer lies within us. And it begins with three interlocking principles. One, self-determination, claiming the right to decide our own destiny free from external mandates and colonial interference. Two, self-reliance, drawing on our ancestral knowledge and resources to meet our own needs. And three, self-sufficiency, building sustainable systems, economic, social, technological, and cultural, that reinforces our autonomy. By exercising these principles, we awaken the moral codes embedded deep in our DNA. We establish communal rights, restore our dignity, honor, and respect for our lands, and rebuild the cultural framework that once sustained our civilizations. Reigniting Black thinking. Thinking itself is a renewable energy resource. Just as solar panels convert photons into electricity, our minds transform daily experience into insight, innovation, and moral guidance. When Black communities mind their own business, we tap into a wellspring of creativity, innovation, and resilience. Through education grounded in our traditions, technology anchored in our values, and collective problem solving fueled by ancestral wisdom, we generate the genetic progressive thought necessary for liberation. Ubuntu, I say it to you. Moving towards global redemption. Reestablishing our natural moral code, world order, does more than heal Black civilization. It realigns the balance of the entire cosmic earth. A world guided by these moral codes rejects exploitation, honors human rights, natural rights, and fosters dignity and ecological harmony. As the vanguard of this renewal, Black thinking lights the way forward, demonstrating how thinking and thought can engineer justice on a planetary scale. I want to keep it kind of short in terms of so we can have a real, you know, community conversation or reasoning. In conclusion, in an age where moral foundations have crumbled under the weight of colonial and neocolonial violence, the most potent remedy is the power of thinking and thought. The most powerful remedy is the power of thinking and thought. By reclaiming Black sovereignty in the spirit of and with the energy of self-determination, self-reliance, and self-sufficiency, we restore the moral codes that sustains us. When we harness Black thinking, the renewable energy resource of human life, through the power of thinking and thoughts, we rebuild Black civilization upon its true moral foundation, and we heal both our people and the cosmic earth. Let this be our charge in this community and our commitment. I said, let this be our charge in this community and in all Black communities, whether we're in Mother, Father, Africa, or anywhere within the diaspora. Let this be our charge and our commitment that as we carry forward the ongoing lesson of this essay, the ongoing lessons of this essay, thinking is the renewable energy that will power our collective resurgence under the natural moral code world order. In addition, I'm giving now we call it in Jamaica, we call it brata. A brata is when you get a little extra for now. So this is the brata for this essay. It's called Divine Manifestation. Before the concept of God existed, and by the way, this divine manifestation is how we understand that thought and thinking is our most powerful resource as an asset. Before the concept of God existed, there was energy, the primordial force from which all arises. From energy, mind emerged. Energy in communication with itself. So in other words, there's energy and there's mind. And mind is just another energy. We came from energy that is communicating with energy itself. This dynamic interplay or intercourse between mind and energy birthed creation, what we call nature, everything that we have known, everything that's from the past, the present, and from the future. All of this is called creation, and it is the intercourse between energy and mind. This dynamic interplay of creation. Creation is the cosmos, both macro and micro. Out of this union, man was formed. Man emerged out of creation. Man is an encapsulation. What is that? Of energy, an encapsulation of energy and mind. This encapsulation is looked upon as what is an encapsulation? Encapsulation is an object-oriented programming. Object-oriented programming. system, aka OOPS. That's the acronym OOPS. So this encapsulation of energy and mind within man resides thinking. So inside of this encapsulation, which is man, which is the product of energy and mind, we have an energy that resides in there called thinking. Thinking is the immortal spark that generates thoughts. Thoughts are generated by thinking, and there's two forms of thinking. There's the thinking that comes from an intelligence, and there's another thinking that comes from intuition. So wherever the thinking comes from, it is thinking, and it will produce thought. Leading and thoughts is what is leading to innovation, inspiration, and a renewal. So because we think, we produce thought that corresponds and supports our thinking. And those thoughts, based upon the moral code, world order, produces what we call innovation, inspiration, and renewal. Thus, through the power of thinking and thoughts, we fulfill our dominion over creation, guided by moral codes that transform raw divine energy into a just and liberated manifestation. And that's what we're here for, to manifest liberation in a just and in a moral way. So I will open now for anyone who would like to give a comment, question. I invite all questions. No question is silly. No question is irrelevant. You know, speak freely so the spirit can speak freely.
Okay.
And I give thanks.
Well, let me come in. That was very interesting and extraordinary to me. And it's just, it's something that needs to be thought about and considered for further solutions to issues that we have. So I'm going to go to Professor Amin Ra to start off with, because he teaches about information very similar when it came to African history. So, Professor Ra, question,
yeah.
Comments?
Appreciate what you asked, for understand you correctly. First of all, I want to say Asante Sana to Sharara for the presentation. You know, ideology, philosophy, they come after people get to the point in which they are not food gatherers and hunters, but they are food producers, through agriculture and through domestication of animals. And then once you become domesticated, I mean, you're secure with food and shelter through the thatch shelter and the various forms of shelter that they build, from caves to thatch huts and things of this nature. And once you become secure, then you can think about a lot of things. See, when you don't have food, you don't have shelter, that's the number one thing you got to seek for your survival. So you try to, all your energy go into just survival. But when you get a little bit of prosperity and you start looking at the earth and looking at the stars and looking at the animals, you begin to create philosophies and ideologies, and largely come through imitating the animals that you see. I I'm getting to a point. What I hear from Sharawa is an ideology and a philosophy that should provide a solution to African people's problems. We've always had that all over the world. There are different philosophies, different ideologies. Elijah Muhammad came up with self-reliance and self-determination and self-isolation with the Nation of Islam. Marcus Garvey came up with we have to rebuild jobs. He had one of the biggest movements without technology. Based on his ideology coming from Jamaica, or wherever he was from, and came out here. And I think Booker T. Washington invited him. And he saw an opportunity to mobilize African people around a philosophy and an ideology of self-determination. As Sharawa said, is one of the first of the three pillars or principles that he talked about. My point is that your goal of ideology and philosophy is for others to follow it. Jesus came with Christianity. Whether he was God's son or not, people start building a religious institution around the things that he taught. Prophet Muhammad came with an ideology. Jehovah came with an ideology. All of these things are created by people. And Dr. Ben would say, gods don't create people. People create gods. And in the context of our situation, many of the things that Sharawa was saying, I'm going to ask him about it, are things that have been not implemented in the way that he explained it or tried in the way that he explained it. Because this is his ideology and philosophy of providing a solution. Thinking, Malcolm X said that, thinking, learn to think for yourself. Martin Luther King also pushed that we have to think and we have to get up under the cultural acculturation. What I mean by acculturation, that when you don't have an ideology for out there culture, other cultures can take you over. If what Sharawa was saying is that we have to rebuild our structure and rely on our structure for answers and solutions. But it's very difficult, especially in America, because most African people see themselves as American. You have to choose to be African or choose to be an independent thinker. And most people think freedom is the choice between Jack in the Box and McDonald's, Disneyland or Magic Mountain, going skating and skating ring or going to a movie. They think that's freedom. Emulating white folks. And my point is that it's very difficult to get them out of that fear of thinking. What Sharawa was saying, we have to learn how to think. But most people just operate in the opposite in America. Let me give you an example, and then I'll show you. We say we're Africans in America. Most black people say they're American or Afro-American. And part of their Africanism is a heritage in Africa, but not an identity. The identity with America. Same thing with Jamaicans. Are they Africans in Jamaica? But they don't see themselves as that. They call themselves Jamaicans. The same thing with all the ethnic groups, Ethiopians and all of that, but I'm talking about the ones in diaspora, and So what we have is self-determination. Okay. How do you get your self-determination if 90% of your people or 95% of your people work for white people or striving to be like white people? How do you come and say, "Hey, we need to be self-determined"? And if you can't give them jobs, and if you can't give them loans, and if you can't help them build an independent life, they're going to go where people can help them. And the same thing with self-reliance. Self-reliance, you know, to be able to defend yourself, be able to protect yourself, protect your lifestyle. You understand? In America say, look, we got the biggest army in the world. We got a Navy, an Air Force, a Marine. We got a Secret Service, all that. What is it to do? What is it to do? To keep America safe and don't change the lifestyle. You understand? And this is what happened when he said slave trade. We weren't traded. No such thing as a slave trade. What they did was a Holocaust of enslavement. You know, when you say trade, it's like it's a business operation. It was not business. It was genocide on every day. People were enslaved until they died. They couldn't live no other life. You understand? And who did they trade with? That's buying into Africans sold each other, you know. But self-reliance is to protect yourself, not only physically, but culturally and ideology. That's why Pope got their army, all people got their army, to protect their ideology. And then self-sufficient. Now, that's the hardest one. How are we going to develop economic independence? They tried that in Oklahoma, Tulsa. People burned them out over a lie, took everything. The Native American was self-reliant. These people took this land, act like it's theirs. And you're trying to teach black people, look, that Roland Shirawa said everything he says is correct. Thinking, how do you justify? I believe that these white people who came from the Caucasoid Mountains, who came out as vicious as they are, come take this land from the Native American.
Yeah.
And then say, this is mine. I'm going to make the laws.
Well, I'd like to respond to you.
Okay. Go ahead.
It's not a question of black people and white people and all that. You know, it's just not, that's not the question. And it's not a philosophy. I'm not speaking of a philosophy. And the reason why I'm not speaking of philosophy, because we already know that ATP is the universal energy currency of the cells of the human body. That has nothing to do with philosophy. So I'm speaking from that standpoint. Where does thought come from? What is thinking? I'm speaking from not black or white issues or world issues and nothing like that. But what I am doing is showing my people how the natural world, the world where the white man is not in control of anything, where no man is in control of anything, where life is its own source. So I'm connecting what was done to us by the colonial imperialists, the plunderers, the marauders, to the natural world in which we are the dominion of that world, the black intelligentsia, the black genius, the black thought, the black thinking, rule that. And that is our possession, our inheritance. But if we do not understand how this operates, then we won't know how we are to or ought to operate. So ATP produces is the energy currency for all the cells in the body. Without ATP, nothing happens. Okay, so that's not a philosophy. That's a biological and a physiological fact. None of these, however people want to look at it, is irrelevant. I'm not even interested in what people want to say unless they're going to speak in the fact of the time and in the present time as to what's happening, not in the past of what happened, because that has no bearing on what we're going through right now. The past is not why we're experiencing what we're experiencing now. What was done in the past, we need to understand it now so that we can institute what needs to be instituted in order to get the remedy to correct the past. We don't want to go forward repeating the past and repeating the past behaviors of our ancestors that came before us. And in other words, we don't want to come in and do what Malcolm X did. And don't come in and do what Martin Luther King did. Don't come in and do what Muammar Gaddafi did. We want to do those things, but we don't want to come and do it the way they did it. Because the way they did it is witness. We have witnessed. We are the people that witnessed the outcome of that. And there will be no other outcome of that if we go that way. So we have to understand then what is the way we should go. Is it a million man march? Is it a pleading on the political structure? Is it a pleading to the religious structure? Is it a pleading to the educational industrial complex? Is it a pleading to the state governmental body, to the local city governmental body? Is it a vote? Is that how we're going to do it? No. So those are where you will find the philosophies and the ideologies. I'm not speaking philosophy or ideology. I am simply speaking the facts, the truth. If what the colonizers did was they took our minds from us, and in so doing, stole our resources, our physical resources, first being our bodies, and the gifts that came from our minds, meaning we invented everything there is in America and most likely the world. And we are still inventing things today, like Brother Julian Brown that came out of Tennessee somewhere, who built a machine that, and he's alive and he's here today, that convert waste plastic into diesel fuel that once produced, you could run your vehicle on, or whatever you run on, diesel for less than $1 per gallon. Like Maxwell Chikumbutsu of South, I forget the name of the country where he's from, it slips my mind right now. But he built the car that is fueled by transistor energy. Like the young black men and women that's making Silicon Valley look like a bunch of idiots and dummies. They're wondering, how do we do that? How can we do that? And they want us to show them, want us to prove to them that our science works, when we're already proving it by creating the car that drives from New York to California, not having to fuel up. You know, that we even built the helicopter that flies on transistor waves. And then you can plug it into your house and it powers up your entire house. But they want us to prove to them, so they want us to tell them how we do it so they can do what they've done in the past with all of our other inventions, which is kill us, steal it, or buy us and control us through our inventions, and they benefit from it, and our people get no benefit from it whatsoever, which we're witnessing today in the poverty of black folks, not only in America, but wherever you find us in the world. We're in poverty because not because we're stupid and dumb and don't know nothing. because everything was stolen under colonialism and imperialism, marauding, plunderers, murderers, and rapists. This is not a philosophy. This is a fact. And so we know that one molecule of ATP can power millions of molecular work cycles. That's not a philosophy or an ideology. That's a scientific, a biological, and physiological fact. Now, thinking is not a mystical extra, but it's the product of trillions of ATP-driven events. To maintain the cellular polarity, the rapid routing of electrical impulses. That's what I'm talking about. I'm not speaking philosophy. I don't have a philosophy. If one wants to know my philosophy, it's simply this. My religion is life. My culture is life. My tradition is life. End of story. Those who do not understand that life is where all religions come from, and without life, there is no religion. So why would I worship under Christianity, Islam, Buddhism, Hinduism, or anything? Why don't I worship life? And where do I find this life? This life is within me and within every living thing that exists. So the temple is within me. And the temple is within every single living thing that exists throughout the entire earth and the cosmos. That's not a philosophy. That's a fact. Life is in everything, whether we like it or not, whether it's good, whether it's bad, whether it's joyful or whether it's painful. Life is it. The most assaulted, territory in human existence is life. We pollute life. We pollute the waters. We pollute the earth. We pollute the air. We pollute each other. We pollute ourselves. We have no respect for our own bodies, our own minds. We control nothing. We don't want to control ourselves. Self-control and self-discipline is the heart of living a whole and bountiful life. Self-control and self-discipline is what gives us the power to be sovereign, to be free, to be liberated. Liberation don't come by the barrel of a gun. It comes by each and every one of us as individual Black people, families, communities, society, coming together and assuming and taking the responsibility for ourselves and freely sharing what we possess as individuals and as organizations, as communities, as a society, as a neighborhood, and taking control of our lives. That's called self-determination. That's not a philosophy. That's a law. We have the right to self-determination, self-sufficiency, and self-reliance. That's a law. And nothing to do with philosophy. Nobody, no one is philosophizing. Not here, never will. The chemical handoff of synapses and the large-scale orchestration of neural ensembles, in that sense, thinking thought is energy. Thinking thought is energy converted, choreographed, and patterned by our biology into the seamless flow of ideas you experience right now, the present, always right now. That's where innovation comes from. So when we talk about, you know, waiting to have, you know, the necessities of life so that we can think and all this, no. That's like backwards. No disrespect, but that's backwards. Thinking produces thoughts, which produces behavior, which when applied, affects efficiently and effectively your condition. So if our condition is that we don't have the health care, or we don't have this, or we don't have that, it's because of how we're thinking. It's not because of anything else, not that we don't have the money, and nothing like that. It's how we're thinking, how we choose to think. We have to take responsibility, and we have to hold ourselves accountable for our situation as a people. That's not a philosophy. That's a fact, hard, cold fact.
Hey, Brother
If we
Trevon.
don't take responsibility, how will we be liberated? Yes, brother.
Let me go to Brother Ernest, and so we can get everybody involved.
Sure, sure. Welcome everyone.
Okay, Brother Ernest.
He just brings back a. I hear what he's saying. He's bringing back a lot of thoughts. And it's kind of like Professor Ross saying, like we've been enslaved for 506 years since the first slave came to this country. And then you've been indoctrinated through the imperialism and colonialism and all that, and educated so you like that old saying, when in Rome, do as the Romans. Well, you're in America here, and in order to survive and meet your hierarchy of needs, you have to kind of conform to this program. But that don't mean that, because a lot of friends and stuff I talk to, you talk to them like one-on-one basis. I mean, they don't go for a lot of this happening, but in a way, you know, there's not a lot you can do about it. You know, as far as form, you know, you govern yourself as much as you can in your personal life, but it's kind of hard to do otherwise. In order to get along, you have to kind of go along, so to speak. So I kind of hear what he's saying. It kind of bring back a lot of thoughts, and in all my years here, I've seen that in order to, you know, to just survive, you have to kind of go along with some of these programs, even though you don't agree with them.
Okay, so you agree that that's a way to get to liberation and get to be self-sufficient and self-reliant, go along to get along. Is that what you're saying? I'm trying to understand what you're actually saying.
Well, a way, yeah, but you, on a lot of things, you kind of have to, because you, how do you survive without, like, you go on a job and they got the rules on the job. Well, if you want to keep that job, you have to go by their rules.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah.
If you want to keep that job, go ahead and keep that job. Go along and get along. Well, we don't, we now in this day and age, we don't see that as a solution or an alternative, because
no.
We're not in a survival mode. We choose to be in a survival mode, because
yeah.
when a man goes out and he fills 25 applications to get a job and he doesn't get a job,
right.
When he goes to the bank to get a loan to start a business because he has an idea, I think he's been thinking, he has an idea, and they're redlining because of his address or whatever. These are things we know. These are past issues.
Right.
We are now in a place where we are highly intelligent. We are the most intelligent people on the planet Earth. And the information age now is proving many things about us. So go along to get along is an old adage applied to a people who were in survival mode. There's no excuse for that today. None whatsoever. And so for those who want to go along, get along, this is what we say. Those whose minds are liberated. Those whose minds are free to be, who are no longer slaves, who are moving towards ascending. We say, fine, that's not a problem. We're not here to preach to anybody or to have them do anything against their own will. What we're simply saying, for those who are awakened or those who seek awakening to know themselves, then There has to be a generation that dives into that knowledge. And the only way to get to that knowledge is to go into your DNA. And the only way to get to into your DNA is through your thinking. It's your thinking. This is why the pandemic occurred. This is why the hot sauce 19 was applied. It was a direct assault on the DNA of humanity. We know that Henrietta Lacks carries the immortal gene. There's no other evidence that another ethnicity of people carries the immortal gene. This is not a philosophy. This is a fact, a biological fact. We know that Albert Perry carries the oldest Y chromosome. This is modern history, not ancient history. This Albert Perry's from the Carolinas. Older than his DNA goes, his Y chromosome go back past Neanderthal.
Right.
It formulated the basis for all human existence, as well as Henrietta Lacks, that special gene. And it was not just found in America. It was found also in certain areas of Suriname and throughout Africa. So this nonsense that we are experiencing now, where they have black people talk about, you know, I'm FDA and I'm ADOS and I'm this and I'm that. No, we're one people. We're one mind. That we share that one mind. That's the mind of the cosmos. We share the cosmic mind. And we are the heirs and heiresses of this mind, of this power. So all I'm saying is, if we are truly seeking liberation, we already know if we unite physically, we already know that it's not a physical unity that is they're afraid of. It's the unification of our minds and the awakening of our culture. Well, there's no chains around my neck. There's no chains around, no shackles on my hands, no shackles on my feet. And I don't see black people walking around with shackles on themselves unless they have broken the law of the land. Now, if they broke the law of the land, they're going to go to prison. Why do they go to prison? Because they break the law of the land. They break the law of the land because their morals have been stripped away from them. The society no longer has a moral. Now, how we know this is true? This is not an ideology. We know that the society of not just the United States and all of the leading governments of the world has no morality when you have a single nation that is murdering people in the Gaza, that is murdering people in Ukraine, and that was brought to court not by Italy, not by France, but by South Africa. The black nation brought his little behind to court, to the world court, tried, found guilty of genocide and ethnic cleansing, and he's still walking the earth and still dropping bombs. Now, I'm going to ask you, that's immorality. That's not morality. And that's not a philosophy. It is happening right now. So all I'm saying is this, let's be truthful. A man is whatever he's thinking. So if I'm thinking I got to go along to get along, then I'm just saying, hey, I got to be a slave in order for me to, what, eat bread? When I can just go ahead and just, I can't find a job because they won't hire me. I can't get the money from the banks to build a business because they won't lend it to me. So what I do, I go make a job. I create a job. Money is not the power. Value is. I have to look at myself and say, what is my value? I got to look at the earth and say to the earth, I need some raw material, meaning whatever I can find on the street. Maybe you can find some people and throw away some bottles. You can take that bottle and make you some lamps and you start selling lamps. Maybe you can get some seeds and find a little plot somewhere, a little lot that ain't nobody using, and a group of us, or maybe in our own communities of black people, that they're doing gentrification. We can all come together as a community, as a neighborhood, and say, let us put our dollars together and buy up all this land that's going to be gentrified, and we gentrified ourselves. It's our thinking that has us stuck. because they stole our minds in order to control our thoughts and reap the blessings and the rewards from our behavior and our abilities. Look at the music industry. Look at Jay-Z. Look at Beyonce. Look at all of them. Look at the entertainment world. We created all the popular music of America. We created that. We invented that. We brought that. The only authentic music in America that is authentically Black American is blues. Untouched by jazz, untouched by any European influence, blues is our music.
Yes.
So, you know, all I'm saying is this. It's not philosophy. I'm not giving my ideology. I have none. I have no philosophy. I have no ideology. I don't play that. I don't do that. You know, philosophical thought is all good and well, but that's not what drives society. That's not what drives human life. What drives human life is plain and simple, the ability to think for yourself, do for yourself, and be yourself. And that's what was taken from us by the colonialists. And that's what we're digging ourselves out of today. Only way to do it is to recapture our minds, recapture our thinking, recapture our thoughts so that we can begin to change our behavior and then change our conditions around us. There's no other way. There's no hand. You can't skip. You can't skip the step. Change your thinking, change your behavior, change your condition. That's it.
Brother Jamar.
Yes.
I want to go to, we got two more people here. I want to go to them. Brother Mashinda. Brother Mashinda. He might be away from the phone.
All right.
Dr. Sharita. Dr. Sharita, unmute.
She might be in class again, you think?
Yeah, she might be in dance class. Okay, but I don't think so. She came back. We probably just want to continue listening.
I see what I was talking about, you know, because most of the friends that I have, we get in private discussions and we all on the same wavelength, you know. But the big question is, what can you do about it to help others?
What we can do is this. First and foremost, there's rules to this. There's a process. The first process is, like you say, your groups of people, right? That you sit and talk with. Okay. Formulate a male society, a male group, and bring all males into that. I don't care if they're 5 years old. Bring them into that and have discussions. So the first thing, we need to talk. We need to come together and talk, have conversation, reason things out. Because you see, the brain is like a muscle, although it's an organ. It's not a muscle, it's an organ, but it's like a muscle. In that, if you want to be buff, you got to exercise, you know? And when you begin to exercise, if you have not been exercising, the first day or two, maybe even a week, 10 days, or maybe even the first month, it's going to be really painful. Really painful, because your muscles are not used to doing that kind of work. They done got lazy. You understand? And the mind is like, oh man, I'm feeling all this pain. I don't feel like, you know. And if you're not, don't have a strong constitution or a strong support system, you may give up on exercise and fall back into, you know, sedentary type of living. The brain is the same. So if we're not thinking about self-control, and if we're not being aware and practicing awareness, then the brain is not getting the exercise it needs. And if we're not eating the nutrients that the brain needs to be a more healthy organ, then the mind is not going to be able to insert itself into the brain 100%. So a lot of our brains are operating like at 50% and 25%. We need our brains working at 100% maximum. And in order to do that, we have to understand what we need to eat in order to strengthen and to rebuild the brain. We need to know how to cleanse the brain, because when we cleanse the brain, we cleanse the mind, because the mind can come in. But a lot of people, through religion and through other different areas of society, to which those areas were made to mislead us, are looking at those areas, and they're not looking at themselves. One thing about the mind is this, and I've been practicing certain things. If your mind does not see it, your eyes cannot see it. You just can't. Your eyes don't really see. It's just the lens in which the mind looks through to see something. But a lot of us have been trained that our eyes is what it's seeing. Your eyes do not see. It only gives you an image that the brain turns right side up. So if we train ourselves to see with our mind, then dementia is going to be not an issue. Because we're using our minds, we're going into our mind saying, where did I put this pen? Where did I put this cup? Where did I put the glass? But we're looking for it with our eyes. What happens as you age? Your vision goes down. Why do your vision go down? Because we're eating things that blocks the vision. This system we're living, this colonialist system, is not no dumb, stupid system. It was a carefully orchestrated and designed system. And it was orchestrated and designed specifically against the indigenous and aboriginal people of this planet. That's not a philosophy. That's a fact. The fact that your brain needs certain nutrients in order to function properly, that's not a philosophy or ideology. It's a fact. And when we begin to know our bodies and our minds more, because why do we need to know that? Because that's where we live. We don't live in a house. We can be found at a particular address. We can be found in a particular state. We can be found in a particular city, in a particular town. But we don't live there. We live in our bodies from the day we were conceived to the day we were born and to this very day as we live. We have always been living in the body. And that body is Christ. And that's just a key word, or a code word for moral code. When they say Christ, they're just talking about moral codes, living with morality and not immorality, living in an ethical way. And when we do that, we restore trust in ourselves and in each other. And we don't have to sit down there talking to each other. And then when we say, hey, man, come, let's build this supermarket, everybody looking like, I ain't got no money for that. Where are you going to get the money? All the time they're sitting on the money now, but they value money more than self-sufficiency and self-reliance and self-determination. They want to see who. And then those who have the money, the Jay-Z's, the Beyoncé's, the Oprah Winfrey's, and et cetera, you can go on and on and on throughout the entire entertainment industrial complex and throughout the whole media system. And you will see all of us who have the money. And then you can go into the business sector, into the corporations of America, and see us in there that have the money. So tell me, why do we have to get along again, go along to get along again? Simply because we choose to do that. It's not real. It's like some people think that white supremacy is real. It's not real. It's not real. But it becomes real when we accept it as real. When we accept it as real, it's so simple. I mean, we can look at what's going on in Burkina Faso, Mali, and Niger, in the Sahel of Africa. We can look at what's going on there. Is there anything in the Western Hemisphere going on like that? The only thing I can say is the formulation of BRICS. This is not philosophy. These are things that are happening. That are happening. And everybody's just watching it happen. Just like they're watching the little children getting bombed. They're watching the people getting ethnically cleansed and nobody ain't saying nothing. Ain't saying nothing. But I'm gonna say, like His Imperial Majesty Haile Selassie said before when he went into the League of Nations to plead to stop Mussolini from coming into Ethiopia. And they laughed at him, they jeered him and they said, and the last thing he said was, today, Ethiopia. tomorrow the world. And like in 7 days later, there was a world war and Hitler was marching across Europe. But even that, again, one would have to go deep to research this Hitler character and this so-called, what do you call it, Holocaust that took place. Then you have to look into even the bombing of Pearl Harbor and the dropping of the bomb on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. It's not philosophy. This is history. These things actually happen.
Brother Shawar.
Yes.
I want to see if I can get Brother Mashinda and Dr. Sharita in. Brother Mashinda, you back? Dr. Sharita, you just came back. Question, comment.
I'm sorry.
Sharita, you're breaking up very badly, sister. If that's a female, if she's not, it's not a female.
It's Dr. Sharita. It's a female.
Okay, good. You heard her voice, right? It's very broken.
Yeah, broke up. Dr. Sharita, your voice is breaking up.
No, it's not clear.
Just listening.
Okay.
I've been in and out, so I'm just listening. Yeah, I'm in an area where it's not really good reception, so but I can't. I'm just listening. I'll type.
Okay. Brother Mashinda, one last time. Okay. Professor Rao, you want to unmute?
Yes.
Okay. You have another question or comment?
Like I said, I agree with him. Everything he said, because it proves my point. Everybody who creates a philosophy say it's facts, it's true, and my way is the only way, and this is what we got to do. It's about you being able to institutionalize your philosophy that makes it real. If don't nobody believe it, and don't nobody practice it, it's just out in the air. But if you don't build institutions and a mass founding of people to practice it, it's not real. You can say Christianity ain't real, but there are Christians, a big and old. You can say Islam is not real from a religious standpoint.
What makes us able to do that?
It all comes from the mind. People create it. They create them. And what Sharao is doing is creating the answer to our problems. No different from anybody else creating them. He has a deep thinker, a critical thinker. And he said, hey, look, we have to become self-reliant. Some black people are, but they're not under the auspices of building it and sharing it with others. You got self-determination. Seeking freedom to do what? To be ourselves. To be ourselves. But there are a lot of people that don't want to be African. Don't want to be a part of that. They marry white people, they marry Chinese. They see life different. I mean, just tell me how many people get into how the brain operates. How many people
I don't understand the relevance of what you're saying to me. How many people see that? I don't understand how is that relevant?
What do you mean? I mean, I'm saying the same thing you're saying.
But you're saying that how many people look at how you think, thinking? Outside of the medical world and the brain surgeon and all that kind of stuff and scientists and people like that, you know.
No, you just
they
said.
Don't look into that.
You just said that everything comes from the brain.
Yeah.
Eyes is just to help feed the brain, which is true. That's true. But people don't see it that way. People think
So
dying.
I'm asking you, what's the relevance of that, though? People don't see it that way. Why is that relevant?
Because people see what people see what other people tell them to see. Like you
But what
trying to
is that
get people to
relevant to
see, you
liberation? That's
trying to
what I'm
get people to
asking.
see what you talking about.
No. Don't do that. Don't do that. I'm not asking people to see anything. Those who have eyes to see will see, and those who don't won't. And they have every right not to.
That's just what I said.
Okay. So, I like to stay on. People can comment and people can say whatever they want to say. It doesn't alter the truth.
Truth is who believes it.
No.
You
Truth is
can go
truth.
tell me people who think they're going to heaven after they die don't
I
believe
don't
it.
know nothing about heaven. I'm saying
I
truth.
ain't talking about
Truth.
what you think, and I'm talking about what other people think.
I don't know what other people think. And
What?
they're free
Why?
to think what they want to think.
You mean you don't
The
know what other
truth
people
is the
think?
truth, no matter what.
Then what? Well, who are you talking to then?
I'm talking to my people,
You
black
talking to
people.
people that don't think the way you thinking right
No,
now?
I'm talking to black people by identity. Their identity makes them black. Now their thinking is something different. They can think what they want to think. Their thinking is different now. They're free to think. Some people think that they're worthless. And I say to that person, you're not worthless. And they say, man, you don't know what you're talking about, man. I ain't worth nothing, man. And I say, hey, look, let me prove to you that you're worth something. And after I show them that they're worth something, they still say, I'm worthless. They have to discover their worth then. I'm just saying that. People gonna think what they think, and they're free to think that. People gonna do what they do, and they're free to do that. Nobody has the right to stop a man from being how he chooses to be.
But Sharab, you just came on saying we have to learn how to be self-determined, self-reliance, and self-sovereign. Who are you talking to? That's like a singer that just sing to himself. You sing so that other people can hear you. And you're coming and you're saying you're not teaching, but you are teaching. You're saying people need to become. Didn't you say that?
Hold on. Let me go back to where I was so I can refresh, because I'm addressing specific things and a specific thought.
You said we have to become self-reliant,
Yeah, I'm talking
self-become.
black people, the black people.
Yeah.
Black people. Yeah.
All people should do that.
Say that now.
All people should do that.
I'm not
Because you
talking to all
said
people.
when
I'm not
you
talking to all
also
people. I'm
said
talking
you
to
would
black
not,
people.
you also said you were talking to all people. You said it's not about different races and stuff. Go back to what you were saying.
I'm speaking as an indigenous black man of African descent ascending. That's the that that that's what I'm speaking as. That's so I'm talking to those people. You understand? The indigenous aspect of myself. I'm not talking to those people who's out here and they believe that, you should marry a Chinese and a white woman or a white man. That they're not who I'm speaking to. I'm speaking to those who are within that consciousness of being black, being aboriginal, indigenous, and is rooted in the moral codes, UN drift, human rights, and other natural laws. That does not exclude other people from benefiting from what I'm saying. But I'm not talking specifically, I'm not talking like that. I'm not like a multi, I'm not talking to, I'm not a multi man. I'm a black man.
Yeah.
And so that's who I'm speaking to directly. So the problems of those people who feel like they got to go along to get along, feel like white people is important too, and Chinese people is important too, and all of these business, then they're not going to relate to what I'm saying. They're not trying to be liberated. They just want to live the way they live in because maybe it's benefiting them. I don't know. Like you say, there are people out here that's self-sufficient. But when you said that, and self-reliant, but when you said that, you was talking about an individual. I'm not talking about individual self-reliance and individual self-sufficiency. I'm talking about taking that individual self-reliance and that individual self-sufficiency and making it a part of a collective self-reliance and a collective self-sufficiency and a collective self-determination. That's what I'm, those are the people I'm talking to, you see. So I'm not really addressing how people and the different nuances, because we're past that already. You know, Muammar Gaddafi already came and ran his country. He had no problem. I couldn't find a Libyan in America talking about they come to America to get a better life. They was all in Libya living life, alive, until they took out Gaddafi. Libya went down into the ground. They blew up the pipeline, was bringing water to the entire, that was fertilizing the entire desert. That's not a philosophy. That's not me trying to convince people of anything. I'm just stating my position as an indigenous. I'm here for the indigenous population of the planet Earth. And all who say they are part of the indigenous, because the United Nations has put something out, they call the United Nations Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous People. So I'm not talking about those people who don't consider themselves indigenous or aboriginal to the earth. Those people who feel like they have to be under French rule or German rule or Italian rule or Euro-American rule, they have a right to do all of that. I don't have time to talk to them. I don't have time to even deal with their problems, their issues. It has nothing to do with me. We in America have been through hell. Hell. And we're still going through hell. So this is not designed to fester hate and a spirit of separation. Because truth, as I said before, is truth. There's a truth that I can call my truth and a truth that another one can call their truth, but it doesn't alter the truth. One of the truths is that everybody needs food to eat. Everybody needs water. That's truth. Everybody needs housing. Everybody needs clothes to wear. Everybody needs love to be loved. And everybody needs to be able to give love. That has nothing to do with how this person feel or that person feel. These are truths. And if we're not going to support that which sustains and maintains us and builds us and makes us a better people, then what is our purpose here? If I'm not going to produce music that's going to help somebody to be healed, that's going to help somebody to feel good about themselves and their family, going to help some people to stop abusing their children, going to help some people to start loving their husbands and loving their wives, then why am I even involved in the music industry? It's from that standpoint that I speak. I have no philosophy. I have no ideology. Every day of my life, I spend figuring out what this is. And the only way I can do that is to surrender this to this so that it can show me what it is. And then I have to have faith. Faith that what this tells me is connected to the universal cosmic energy of life. And then I have to dedicate myself, not medicate myself. I have to dedicate myself with duty to that without shifting, no surrender, no retreat, taking no prisoners, and death before dishonor. Die before I alter the truth or modify my alignment with the truth. And so that's what I share, because this is just about sharing. All I want to do is share, but my sharing is not a what do you call my opinion or my philosophy or my ideology. No, my sharing is the things that I concerned about, like the other brother, I think Ernest McBride, he was saying, and I say, well, you know, first you come together, then you have a discussion, you have a reasoning, and once you reason and you speak together, we become to understand each other. We become knowledgeable. I know you now, you know me. But you can't come together and reason and be dishonest in the reasoning. You know, like, I'm acting like I'm some brainiac. I'm acting like I got all this money. I got all these contacts. And I have no such thing. I'm just want to do that just to appear a certain way in front of people. I've known people that do that. And once you do that, the next step after that is you talk about what is our concerns and what are our issues. The moment we begin to talk about our concerns and issues, guess what happens? The mind begin to show us solution, and we share those solutions now because we all have concerns and issues. How are we going to address these concerns and issues? And over time, we begin to receive feedback from the moral code system, because everything is based on morality. Everything is based on our morals and our moral compass. And so we're trying to reestablish that. The only way to do that is to think that. If you don't think that, how are you going to do that? You do what you think.
Brother Terrari.
Yes.
We've had somebody come in late. Rakuma.
Yeah, okay, Rakuma.
Thomas.
Yes, that's my beautiful seed.
Oh, one of your children?
One of my beautiful seeds, man, my daughters.
Oh, she wanna how you pronounce her name?
Rakumia.
Rakumia.
Yeah, Rakumia. Rakumia.
Okay, did she want you wanna
I don't know. She's in, so I could greet her and tell her, hey Kum, how you doing?
Hello, everybody. How y'all doing?
Okay.
I'm good. Thank you so much for coming in.
Awesome. Yeah, thank you. I know I'm late. I just wanted to connect real quick. Hold on 1 second. So sorry.
Yeah.
So we coming up on, I guess, towards the end for this time.
Mm-hmm.
And so basically, you could leave us with a little something.
Yeah, you know, this was just a preamble to what is coming. I will further break down many things, and I'm trying to make sure I connect it to what is real, something that we can all put together. There are things that I'm doing personally to build platforms and foundations to where we can exercise. I have a full musical band that's willing to work with me. I have also, I'm just working with some people and putting things together, you know. What I am actually looking for also is individuals that's willing to be a part of something, to build something properly and to build it without, you know, doubt and all that kind of stuff. You know, as I said, I'm a singer-songwriter, so I've been a singer-songwriter now for over 45 years. And I originate all of my stuff. I don't do cover songs at all. I'm connected to the Delta, Mississippi, you know, where I've developed American roots in the Delta, you know, the birthplace of American music, you know, the town in which the last movie called Sinners is talking about, that town called Clarksdale. I'm aligned with Terry Big T. Williams. I'm aligned also with Gabriel Oyivo, the mathematician that discovered in 1990, Gij, J equals zero, the Gaga theorem. I speak with lots of people. I speak with Julian Nettlesbay, the Dogon master here. It's just a lot of people. I'm not one to talk about myself, you know, but I have ideas and I have energy. And those who are willing to put their money where their mouth is and their expertise to work, then we can build. We can build. I can lay on the table what my resources are. I have no fear in doing that, but I don't want to be doing stuff like that where people just want to see what a person has and then it they turn around and, you know, they're not responsive, not moving forward. Because God would say we should go forward ever and backward never. And Gabriel Oyibo say the act is over. God has already approved us and has lifted us back onto the throne. So we need to take a different approach. We need to begin to think together. We need to begin to produce together. You know, there was a time when cotton was king in America, and all of us was the ones in the on the plantation planting the cotton and picking the cotton. Now the black farmers are suffering, so we need to bring the black farmers together. You know, so those of us who have access to those farmers and those people who are in administrative position to talk and communicate with these farmers, we need to touch bases with them. We need to talk to them, and they need to talk to us. And we need to integrate. Not that other integration about the fountains and the buses, that's crap. That's nonsense. And we have proven it to be nonsense. There were never an integration into the system of white America. It was a fallacy, you know. But our true integration is when we begin to integrate with our black professionals, with our black craftsmen and artisans, and we begin to build and produce in America so that we can trade with our brothers and sisters all over the planet. That's what we need to be doing. And the only thing that's blocking us and stopping us is cowardice. A lot of us are cowards and are fearful. We need to stop that. Because the end of life is death for everybody, whether you're good or bad, whether you're rich or poor, whether you're educated or uneducated, you will go to the grave. So that's nothing to fear. Question is, what will you do in between the time you're born and the time you go on to the ancestors? Will they be proud of you when you enter? Will they say, come, my sister, come, my son, come, my brother, you did well? Are we just going to do what the colonialist wants us to do, retire and go fishing? Retire, go fishing, and be old, what they call elderly. Well, I'm not one for that program. And I would encourage each and everyone, do not participate in the elderly program. You know, use your resources that you have saved up, that you have put together. Don't be foolish with it. Be wise with it. But fulfill your purpose and your destiny on this planet, which is to leave something, leave some kind of legacy, not just for your own personal family and children, but for your collective family and children, in which your personal family and children will benefit from it. If you feed the collective, everybody is taken care of. If you only feed your personal, then your personal is only the only one that's going to benefit, and they become vulnerable as time passes forward. So if we build a strong collective, everyone will be taken care of. The technology is here to help us. Don't be afraid of it. AI is not an enemy, because what we're dealing with is African intelligence, not artificial intelligence. We are the AI. We are the original AI, produced by energy and mind, which produces creation, which produces man, who thinks and produces thoughts. So he invents and innovates, build nations and build kingdoms and empire. That's where we come from. So we need to return to that. We need to have faith in that, and we need to trust in that and have no doubt about it. Don't let no one else govern our faith. We must build our faith, not only in ourselves as individuals, but in ourselves as a collective, and move with wisdom. Reconnect with the elders that are not old or elderly. They're just aged and elders, meaning they are wise and knowledgeable, and they don't speak foolishness and nonsense. We're not different from the young. We are equal to them. It's just that we have the knowledge that protects them as they do their work from 21 to 65 and beyond is where the power lies. From 21 to 65 and beyond, that's where our resource is to grow, to build, to innovate, to produce and to build empires and nations. That's where it belongs. From birth to the teenage years, those have no power. They're under the care of their mothers and fathers. They're in the university of life. They're learning. We must protect those. And that population is what the colonialist seeks to go after. That's why you see some young men are allowed to transition from being men to being girls. And some young women are being transitioned from being women to being boys. 8 years old, 9 years old, 10 years old are being transitioned. Why? Because we have let our guard down and have allowed evil and immorality and unethical behavior and immoral codes to take hold within our generation. And we must put a stop to that. And it's not a problem. It's easy to do. Just stop, period. You know, just stop and have faith that you're stopping. You have stopped, so therefore you will produce others that will stop. And pay more attention to our children. Talk with them. Don't just nix them off if they're just too young. They don't understand. They don't know. They know more than we think. Work with them. You know, work with them. Dedicate your energy, your strength, and your time to them. Teach them. Teach them how to think. We are the professional thinkers. They just started. I have 8-year-olds, I have 4-year-olds, grandchildren, I have 15 altogether. And I tell them every day, I say, listen, you guys are not professional thinkers. I'm a professional thinker. You're not professional doers. Learn to observe what I'm doing and not ask, can I help? And not ask for me to tell you how I'm doing. The first thing you need to do is observe what I'm doing. Have the patience, still your mind. Control yourself so that you control the things around you. Discipline yourself so that you can achieve all the things you want to achieve, you can achieve. Only through self-discipline we can make achievements. And only through self-control we can control our world and the world around us. And this is what I'm speaking about. It may be a philosophy. One may look at it as a philosophy, but it's not. If you don't have self-control, how are you going to control the car as you drive it? If you don't have self-control, how are you going to walk down the street without hurting yourself? To control yourself is to control all things around it. To control yourself, to control all things that come forth out of it. To control yourself is to control all things that come through you. Without self-control, you have no control. Control self and you control all things. Our ancestors said, know thyself. That is what they're talking about. To achieve great things, we must discipline ourselves. Medicine is just a discipline. Engineering, mechanical or otherwise, is just a discipline. Being a superstar basketball player, football player, whatever it may be, is a discipline. But how can you achieve those things if you have no self-discipline? The first thing one must achieve is self. And that's achieved through self-discipline. So I'm in this community, the CEN network community, we would like to see that for each and every individual, especially the children. And I'm encouraging those between the ages of 24 and 55 to continue and come together, join forces with those within that age bracket. Stick with the professionals as professionals and talk about what can we do to restore our Black genius style and our Black dignity and our Black sovereignty and Black self-sufficiency and Black reliance, how we can rely upon ourselves. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Fear is our enemy, it's not our friend. And we must first conquer our own individual fear and capture our collective fear and put it aside and move forward. So that is what I have in conclusion. Look forward to going into some further things. I will be scheduling to make another presentation to go deeper in some other aspects of what was discussed tonight. We're going to talk about the moral code and get into that. I think I need to dedicate a presentation that's rooted in moral code, and talk about how relevant that is and how we can restore those codes amongst ourselves, our families, and hopefully society as a whole, you know.
Okay, I have, I think, this, I don't know if this is Brother Troy or not, but Troy just joined, mm-hmm. and I don't know which Troy that is. Would you unmute Troy so we can find out who you are?
Sure, Benton?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Hey, how you doing? Like Salam, we're just ending. You missed the whole presentation, but
yeah, I meant to get here a little earlier, but I'm at work and I'm driving, and I just happened to look up and see what time it was. So I was like, let me try to tap in and just catch some if I can. Other than that, I'll just go into the recording. But
Thank you, brother, for coming in at least.
Your
spirit is welcome.
Yeah, well, that's good you came, brother. Good to hear your voice.
Thank you for having me, you know? And I'm sorry I missed the depths of this conversation, but I'll pick it back up on the record.
Be at the next one, okay? I'll send you the link to that as soon as we decide what day it is.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Love you, brother.
Love you too, brother. Love all you brothers.
Yeah. But Professor Rob, what we got next week?
I'll call you in the morning. I'm trying to lock down a Black Lives Matter. I talked to them today, and they're supposed to get back with me today, either later on the night or in the morning.
Okay, well, that's good. Okay, so next week we have a criminal justice professor coming on from Tyler, Texas. Her name is LaRonda Hamilton, and the topic will be accountability and consequences. So that's what we have next week on Wednesday. So join us if you like. And Brother Chiwara, I appreciate your presentation this evening and looking forward to the next one.
Absolutely, man. It's all love.
And Professor everybody Rob, would.
Love you, brother.
Yeah.
Brother Mashinda, love you. Brother Ernest McBride, love you. Let's stay united. Let's stay as one mind, one thought.
We will.
Okay.
It's hard to get everybody on board. Because that's why I'm associated with this program and trying to get more people to come.
You're in the right place.
Good thing to come and join in. So
appreciate you, Brother Ernest. All right, everybody. Thanks for coming.
All right. Take
we'll
care.
See everyone next week. Who shows up and who listens?
Ubuntu.
All right.
Conscious Corner, and each one teach one.
Amen.